He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's Friday, finally. It's the December 15th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with my sidekick, chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And Barry, we've had a wild week. We are off to a mixed start here today, a split decision. The NASDAQ is up 52. At 14,814, still a couple thousand points away from its all-time high, something like that. The Dow, however, hit a new all-time high yesterday. It's backing off a little bit today. It's down 87 points to 37,161. I thought I felt a little euphoria in the air here this week with the Fed decision. The S&P is down 5. At 47.14, it is close to its all-time high at 4,800, but got a ways to go. The small caps are down 0.5%. Crude oil down 20 cents to 71.20. Gold is at 2,047. Silver down 14 cents. And the surprise of the week, or the move of the week, the shocking move of the week, is in the bond market with the 10-year right now at 3.92. And, Barry, those banks just shot up yesterday in financials. It was just a wild day in the market.
Well, and it makes their, of course, as interest rates go down, it makes makes their, you know, they hold a lot of longer-dated treasuries, particularly banks that hold a lot of dated treasuries. It'll make their balance sheet look better. So.
So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We have had quite a week in the market. Everybody expected Jerome Powell to not do anything with interest rates at this latest meeting, but I don't think they expected the dot plot that came out. And now all the time, that's all we're going to hear for the next several weeks and months. When is the next rate cut? When is the rate cut coming? And right now they seem to be penciling in March for a rate cut.
Yeah, the March numbers, when you look at the futures contracts, that's kind of the month where you get a big jump in terms of some type of cut.
So. Well, and so anyway, look, I'm seeing a lot of the leaders here in the market this year, the Fabulous Seven. They're starting to weaken up a little bit, and we're starting to see some rotation, okay? And I've said for many years that no 2 years are alike in the market. I mean, we were lucky to be parked in the right place here in 2023 in those big tech stocks because we had a favorable interest rate environment. But those things have gone up a lot. You know, they're up anywhere from 50 to 70%, a lot of those big stocks. And I'm starting to see them kind of stall out, and I'm starting to see some money leaking out and rotating, okay? The market rotates. And I'm seeing it rotate. The two areas where I'm seeing the most rotation, it's too early to call a new trend for 2024. The financials were on fire, the banks and financials. Why? Well, with interest rates going down, there's going to be some more lending activity, and they make a lot of money off of lending. And, a lot of people with rates where they were, weren't exactly excited to go take out a loan at those kinds of rates. So the banks and financials had just a huge day yesterday.
Yeah, and you highlighted Goldman Sachs' move. And, the point there is, when you get rates coming down, you get, usually get a little more deal activity, right, in terms
of
investment banking and other aspects of of the entire investment realm continues to, usually gets a boost.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the financials myself. They're pretty boring, especially the banking sector and the banks and whatnot. But I'm pointing out the fact that money is leaking out of these big winning stocks in 2023 and starting to find a new home as the market rotates. And, I'm going to have to make some tough decisions. I think when the new year starts, I think you could see some pretty heavy outflows out of the big winners of 2023. 23. I don't think we're going to see that between now and January 1st or December 31st because I don't think they want to pay the capital gains taxes on those big gains. You know, we've had so many people tell us, don't sell any of our big winners right now. We don't want any capital gains taxes to pay. Now, that cuts both ways, Barry. I've had clients over the years say, I don't want to sell this stock because I have to pay a big capital gain. Well, you know what? I saw the capital gain disappear over time because, you know, I said, I don't like the slot. I don't think the future for it's very good. And eventually their capital gain, they didn't have that problem anymore because the stock went down and there was no capital gain. So that's a two-edged sword that you have to be very, very careful with.
It's the old adage, you've got good news and bad news, right? Bad news is you got a tax problem. Good news is you've got a
you made a lot of taxable gain.
So
yes.
it comes with the territory. The difference is what you don't want to do is paying capital gains tax when you get these, you know, sometimes you get these mutual fund distributions where you might buy the fund last week and then all of a sudden they're issuing a capital gains distribution that you really never participated in, but it's just the way the accounting goes for the fund, and you get stuck with the tax.
Yeah, and you know, most people want it to also push off the capital gain. You know, you can push it off by a whole year or just by waiting another 2 weeks, right, to sell your stock. Well, you know, I don't know if you saw the news on IBM. Elon Musk has been all over it. The CEO of IBM was caught on tape by James O'Keefe talking about the DIE for IBM and actually threatening employees, if you don't get these numbers where we want them, in other words, we got to lower our exposure to white people, we have to lower our exposure to Asian people, we have to and there's all of a sudden a big uproar. I mean, that's illegal to do that. You can't discriminate against a group of people. So I don't know if his days are numbered there at IBM. You know, I saw James O'Keefe. He's an interesting guy, to say the least. I just happened to be at a kind of a conference kind of thing, and he was one of the speakers. He is a very interesting guy. When they introduced James O'Keefe, he comes in with his entourage. And I mean, he had an entourage of bodyguards, and he had some women with them that were a little, I don't want to say the word floozies, but I think that's what they look like anyway. So he was interesting to say the least. He's quite a showman. But you know what? He's got this IBM CEO kind of on the ropes. And, not that IBM's the greatest stock out there. But anyways, interesting story that will follow. A lot of people think that that guy is toast. At IBM. The bank stocks, like I said. You know, the other thing I saw yesterday, look, this year was all about the bigger, the better, the mega cap stocks. There's a mega cap ETF, MGK, Magic, and it was Magic this year. Do you know how much it was up, Barry? It was up 48%. That's how much it's up year to date, all right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Dow's up like 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there. And you take a look at the small cap index, the Russell 2000, the S&P 600, which I track on a daily, weekly basis. You know, they're just barely in the positive this year. But I'm saying over the last week, what I've noticed, by going over a lot of stocks during the day, is a lot of these small caps. You can also look at it like one ETF that represents a whole group, all right? So there's a small cap value ETF. Those are low PE small caps, which is at the very opposite end of high PE mega caps, right? You couldn't get any further apart
away, right?
Than those two asset classes. And all of a sudden there's all this interest, which I haven't seen for several years, in small cap value stocks. And I sent out some charts yesterday to some of our subscribers and, of course, to our clients of these small cap ETFs, especially value, low PE, and dividend. There's a mid cap dividend ETF. There's a small cap dividend ETF. They just exploded to the upside yesterday. But you know what? Everything looked a little bit euphoric to me. I think it's going to settle down here a little bit. But we're going to have to be very, very watchful here for rotation in the market. Look at the difference between 2022, where nobody wanted to own a high PE tech stock mega cap. And that all started changing late in 2022. We saw that action taking place. We got planted in the NASDAQ stocks in January, and that's where we've pretty much been all year. But you know what? Things are going to change a little bit here. That's what's so beautiful about the BestStocksNowApp.com. It picks up those subtle changes that begin in the market, and the key is catching them early. So that's what I'll be doing during my holiday season. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, this will be an I'm looking forward to writing the newsletter. I always been looking forward to writing the newsletter. I begin really Thursday during the market, and then, of course, Friday. I sent it out Saturday morning, late morning. But, you know, that's going to be interesting. The natural, if you're just going to use logic, money's going to flow from the big winners of this year into the laggards, okay? And I was just looking at Goldman Sachs here, for instance. Not that I'm a big fan of the stock, but Goldman Sachs, over the last 12 months, is down 1.6%, okay? Well, the tech stocks are up 60 and 70%. It has completely been left behind. So there's a natural tendency to be a contrarian. Well, I'm going to sell my big winners here, those that outperformed, and buy some low performers, some underachievers. Well, okay, I mean, it's still, that doesn't make a lot of sense just to do that carte blanche, because you're trading in great growth, all right, with huge futures into companies that, you know, not so exciting anymore. So you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But I do think that there's going to be some pretty heavy rotation, especially in the first part of the year, January, when people start to, you know, take some profits in the big winners. They're not going to do it before December 31st for tax reasons. But they're going to take some big profits and some of these big winners and maybe diversify. You've also got rebalancing, all right? If you've got a stock in your portfolio, you know, we own 17, 18, 19, 20 stocks in our portfolios. If you got one that's doubled, well, it's taking up a big chunk of your portfolio, right? And you're going to maybe sell off some of that and diversify, buy something else that maybe is a better value right now. So I think there's going to be a continued move here away from big PE, large cap, and let's just say down to the other end of the spectrum and everything in between that missed out. Let's not forget, Barry, most of the stocks missed out on this year's move in the market.
Oh yeah, and by July, right? We had talking about relative overperformance, right? In terms of we trimmed some of those, particularly some of the chip names.
We did,
and you trimmed some in July because of that fact that it became a much more concentrated position than when you started, right?
We had a huge position there in NVIDIA, for instance, because it had gone up so much.
Yeah, became close to a 9% position to 10% position, whereas, you know, kind of your standard purchase is usually in that 4 to 5% range.
Yes, and I didn't feel comfortable. My left eye was starting to twitch during the day uncontrollably, you know, as I looked at that position. Treasuries is another area, I think. You know what? Some of those bonds, we don't own a lot of individual bonds. That's for the people that want safety. But we did. I mean, for the people that want safety, we picked up some pretty
about
good
9 to 10 purchases, right?
Yeah.
Between September of last year and, leading up to you know, I think our last bond purchase probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
And interest rates were up around 5% when we bought those, and now we're under 4%. So I'm going to be excited to update those, how well they did. They must have had a massive week, that particular portfolio that I managed. For the people that want safe money, but the Treasury, the ETFs, they were so oversold about a month ago, and now they're overbought just like that. It's just crazy. I've never seen this kind of volatility in the bond market, which is usually about as boring as you can get. Okay, let's see. Palo Alto Networks gets a price upgrade. You know, I'm seeing a lot of action still in that cybersecurity space. You know, some of our top holdings continue to be Palo Alto, Zscaler, and the CrowdStrike, all right? Those have just been going nuts here recently. Let's see what their price. They're upping the price target at Wedbush to $350 from $307. So don't sell your Palo Alto Networks yet. I know that the app, let me see where the app ranks.
I don't know if you peeked at Broadcom today, but
it's the stock of the week.
It's moving. Last time I looked, it was up 3%.
Well, Palo Alto still ranked number 339 out of 5,600. I think I'll be raising my target price here a little bit on it, but we still have about 50% upside potential, making it, with new money. There's better buys out there, but Palo Alto definitely has been good to us here in 2023.
Yeah, crypto wallet provider was actually hacked and was able to drain some crypto out of some client accounts. So it's cyber attacks are basically 24/7. They're doing some work somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Constantly. Okay, we finally got some good news out of China. If you ask me what my worries are for 2024, obviously I've talked about the economy in China continues to really struggle. They finally got some good news here today. Their industrial production, retail sales climbed. But, you know, troubles in China could drag down the whole global economy. So that's a worry. You've always got to worry about your risk, okay? Number two risk is the high valuation that we've all of a sudden got on the S&P 500. Now, I haven't done the math yet, but I got to believe we're up around 19 times forward earnings, maybe even a little bit more than that, which is extreme. Probably will revert back to the mean a little bit here.
Well, we got up to about 23, though. Coming out of COVID, when rates were virtually zero, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So China's a worry. That my third worry, and I think it's just about everybody's worry. It's an election year. This is for me. Just watching, this is going to be an election year like none other. Okay, it's just unbelievable. The vitriol, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, yes, elections, I remember holding up right before the presidential election, probably back in the 60s, early 70s, holding up a picture of the candidate that my dad supported, and people weren't throwing stuff at me and everything. I mean, we all kind of got along back. Anymore.
A sign in your yard at that point, right?
This is blood this time. And, you know, I mean, it could spill over into the market. There's no question about it. Inflation rate in France drops 3.5%. I noticed my Brie cheese is hanging in there. It's not going up in price anymore. 3.5% inflation in France. That's kind of where we're at. Inflation continues to dissipate. Okay, here's a great example. What do bad stocks do? They raise their dividend to try to attract investors. Pfizer is the dog of the Dow in 2023. It's hitting new 52-week lows. They're going to raise their dividend, Barry, by 2.4%. Boy, aren't they something. The stock goes down by 40%. But they're going to raise their dividend a little bit. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. With just 16 days left in 2023, it's been a very good year for the market. If you didn't learn anything else over the last couple of years, is how much the Fed dominates the market. Don't fight the Fed, right? That's the old saying, and nothing could be truer. You know, when the Fed is hiking interest rates, you don't want to go near high PE, long duration stocks or long duration bonds. You want to avoid them at all cost. And when you've got the wind at your back, when the Fed is finally starting to go the other way with interest rates, which the market started sniffing out late in 2022, the market's always looking ahead by at least 6 months and more like a year or two down the road.
Yeah, they may not get it right, but they're trying to, right?
Yeah, and the market started rushing back in like a tidal wave into growth stocks early this year. And we started detecting it in October, really, of 2022.
And it's odd too. We don't even remember. It's almost like, you know, now when you look back, you know, I've kind of been looking back in terms of, you know, what happened this year, right? And the March banking crisis kind of
remember that? Yeah, I mean that had me scared. You know, when Silicon Valley Bank went down,
spilling over to all the mid-majors.
A couple others were on the ropes, and I thought, wow, this isn't good. Are we headed for another 08-09 financial crisis? But we stormed through that. I guess there were
Nvidia, and we got the Nvidia.
AI news broke.
Best report ever, basically.
The biggest earnings report I've ever seen was Nvidia's report with their AI chip. And then it all began really when Microsoft unveiled ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that just set the AI world on fire. I was looking at a semiconductor fund yesterday, up 63% on the year. Okay, so the natural thing would be to lower your exposure to semiconductors and raise your exposure to some of the big underperforming sectors, the REITs, for instance, or whatever. But, you know, you don't just do that to be doing it. You have to actually wait to see evidence that there's money flowing out like a rip current flowing out of a certain area of the market into other areas of the market. Now, I've seen a week of that, okay, but that a week does not make for a new trend. So, and you have to take it one stock at a time. You can't just make a blanket call. I'm going to sell all my tech, high PE, mega cap stocks, and I'm going to buy all small cap, low PE stocks. You just can't do that. It has to be very systematic and methodical. We've got a few stocks that are starting to surge here today. We're having a good day. We're surging to a new high for the year. Broadcom's up 3.3%.
Yeah.
Again, I say that's the stock of the week. We don't own Costco. You know, you look back and you think of the mistakes you made in this business. I own Costco in the dividend portfolio. That should have never been sold. Barry, why didn't you stop me from doing that? Why didn't you tie me to my chair? Don't sell it. Don't sell it. Never sell Costco like Charlie Munger. Charlie Munger died with his Costco, right? With his and his card, membership card, and his wallet, I'm sure. I do see Costco reported earnings last night. They're raising their how come every time I go, my membership is up? I must not go often enough. So I'll go to get a $30, $40 bag of stuff, and, oh, Mr. Gunderson, your membership's expired. You owe us $150. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Well, we go too much because last time I went, I thought we were going to, you know, our subscription ends in November, so we showed up. I thought we were going to have to pay ours, right? And they took it off the reward or the points that we've earned, right, over the time period,
really?
which means you know, with the house with three boys in it between
just
17
the milk
and 9,
alone gave you all kinds of points.
So in other words, we've spent too much at Costco. We should have bought stock in it. Put it
wow.
That way.
Yeah. Well, you know. Okay. Costco, one of the great stuff. I watched it emerge in my backyard in San Diego, basically, over there on Marina Boulevard. They built a little place called Price Club. Yep. And Saul Price. And then, of course, in Rose Canyon there in San Diego. And from there, you know, they just started exploding. And then Costco came along to compete with Price Club. The two went at it head-to-head for quite some time. And they decided just to join forces. And I should have never sold my Costco. Costco is up 4.1% today after their earnings announcement last night. And as I said, these cyber security stocks doing really well today. And enterprise software. Zscaler is up 3.2%. CrowdStrike up 3%. Palo Alto Networks 2.3% today. ServiceNow up 1.9%. And another one that I'm seeing starting to emerge, it was a big favorite of the Motley Fool. You know what? The name just left me. It'll come back, but it was really starting to surge here yesterday. I'll think of it here in a minute. But it's in that same Cloudflare, NET,
yep.
Cloudflare.
Yep.
All right. So, anyways, there's some individual stocks to talk about. Okay, more fun stories here because there's a lot of fun. John Williams at the Fed says calls of a March rate cut are premature. Okay, well,
trying to talk down the exuberance just a little bit, right?
Yeah, Tesla's
going to
build
the balloon just a bit.
Yeah, you know, he's talking. There was some euphoria in the air this past week. Tesla is going to build a mega factory in Mexico. Well, you know,
makes
what?
Makes sense. A lot of car makers went there. Right?
Those are expensive cars, so I can't see him selling too many down in Mexico. That's in Nuevo León, but he's asked them to improve the electricity, water, and transportation in the region. Well, anybody who's traveled to Nuevo León or those thereabouts, you know what he's talking about. Their infrastructure's not the best. I remember I did a trip. There was a company that went public, and they were headquartered right there in the center, Monterrey, Mexico. And, you know, like, it's dicey to go down there. I had a great time, though. The food was fantastic. And, you know, they showed us their plants and everything. And we had a great time. And it ended up being a pretty decent IPO. You know, like I say, the infrastructure can be a little suspect at times. Lululemon, up 11 days in a row. How about that, Barry?
That
do you
thing,
wear those
yeah.
Lululemons around the house? You
yeah, I got, that, I got the they got some. They actually have some nice men's dress pants, which
okay.
is one of the things. Of course, you know, if you went into that store, you know, 10 years ago, I don't even know if there was a men's
no.
section, but
no.
You know, yeah, they've branched out, and you know, that's another stock we probably shouldn't have just
we should have never sold.
Forever,
you
right?
know,
those retailers.
I'm just so afraid of bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, there's two big survivors there. One is Lululemon, and the other one is Ulta Beauty.
Yeah. They got nice t-shirt for underneath, you know, underneath the dress clothes for men. But it's, you know, it's kind of the, you know, it's certainly, put it this way, around here, if you're doing any bricks and mortar Christmas shopping, there'll be a line out the door.
Always, especially when they get into the sales and whatnot.
Right.
Now, why has it been such a big story? Well, I can tell you why. The earnings. The earnings have gone up 29% a year. That's recently. Okay, they're slowing down. They're decelerating. You're running at about 20% a year. You were running at 30% a year, but I can remember the days when they were running at 60-70%.
Yeah, and that's even when they bought. Yeah, and remember they bought you know, that company Mirror, you know, three years ago or so, and it turns out, you know, not a great purchase, and still have easily overcome. Right?
Yeah, I think they ended up selling Mirror or something, offloading. Okay, now here's a lesson. that I want everybody to understand here. I talk about it all the time. Do you know that Lululemon's earnings in 2017 were $2 per share? They're $14 per share today.
Wow.
That's seven times earnings, right? Sevenfold mm-hmm. increase. The stock has gone up about sevenfold
stocks.
During that period
what?
Of time. With stocks follow earnings. And even more importantly is indexes of stocks. Just makes sense. If stocks are going to follow earnings, so are the 500 stocks in the S&P 500, which, by the way, are going to hit record earnings this year at $220 per share. Next year we're looking for $240 to $250, somewhere in there. But it's subject to change. And that's why it's so important to stay on top of those earnings estimates, not only on the individual stocks, but the stocks that are parts of these indexes. Because if the market's going to go higher next year and the year after that, earnings are going to have to continue to increase, which they've been doing since 2009. But at some point, that will come to a screeching halt. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. You definitely want to get this week's newsletter as we get ready to turn the page on a new year. And definitely the market is rumbling right now. The winds of change are blowing a bit in the market. But today I kind of see the leaders taking their leadership back after kind of a euphoric move. In the contrarian stocks this past week. We'll be pointing all of that. I got to see where the dust settles, okay? I got to see by tomorrow morning where the new rankings are of the sectors after today's close, especially where the new rankings of the asset classes are, where the new rankings of the stocks are. What are some of the top? Should we be looking smaller and cheaper this year? Then as large as we can get and as expensive as we can get, that's what was in favor in 2023. I think it'll be a mixed bag. I think there will be some of the large, expensive stocks that are going to underperform next year. And I do think that there will be some more of the mid-cap area, a small cap, lower PE, even lower PE, large cap stock. So, again, you got to take it one at a time. Look for things that are starting to fall out of favor after being in favor for quite some time. Look at valuations. Valuations are critical here at this point in time with the market that's gotten expensive. A move away and diversifying, spreading out into some of the lower PE stuff. But still, quality leadership type stocks could be the ticket for the coming year. The newsletter will go out as soon as I'm done with it tomorrow morning. You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, we've been busy. We've been very busy. I've been busy putting new money to work here. I did quite a bit yesterday. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST. From anywhere in the country, we service almost every state with our fee-based only money management. All right. Again, 855-611-BEST. Okay, trends that I'm seeing here. We're kind of back to the trend that's dominated all year. If I look at the I am seeing the Chinese stocks wake up here today. They've had a horrible year. They've had a horrible 10 years. There is one, PDD, that I think is the dominant, if we're going to own one, I could probably be talked into that one. And we have owned it in the past. We wrote up an article about it in Seeking Alpha, and that thing's turned into a monster. and it's just eating Alibaba for its lunch.
Yeah.
And a few other Chinese.
As long as you can get the, as long as you can get the name of it out of your mouth, right?
It's, yeah, it's Pinduoduo. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But and you know what? They're really making inroads with their website, Tima, or their brand, Tima, which takes on a lot of the low end of the market, only it's all online. So they go head-to-head with Dollar General and Five Below and the Dollar Tree and all of this and that. They're very aggressive, growing very, very quickly. So the Chinese stocks are waking up a little bit here today. They've had a horrible year. FXI, which is the Chinese market, is down this year, while our markets obviously have done very well. And guess what? The semiconductors are having a good day. Intel. I'm going to say Intel's the surprise stock of the year for me, because Intel just sat there and sat there and sat there for years, the last several years, while AMD was running circles around it. Intel's finally kind of got their act together, starting to make some inroads. But, yeah, it's up a lot here this year. But it's hitting a new 52-week high. It's up another 3% today. Broadcom's up 3% today. Broadcom has had one heck of a week. That's one of our largest. Look at that thing surging. It's up another $36 per share today.
Crazy.
I'm not complaining.
I'll take it. Yeah,
I'll take it. There's another one. This stock had earnings of $16 a share in 2017. Now they're looking at about $52 per share. That's almost, a little over 3.5 times. And the stock's gone up about 3.5 times because it was $300 a share 2017. Now it's almost $1,200 a share. Stocks follow earnings. The key is finding stocks that have been growing their earnings at a consistent pace. That tells you they've got good management. They've got a good product. And then the second part of that is making sure that those earnings are going to continue, not decelerate, which I see Apple in the deceleration mode big time. And for that reason, we did sell our Apple this year, midway through the year, just because the earnings are decelerating. If stocks are going to follow earnings, and earnings are decelerating, then stock price appreciation is going to decelerate. The best of all worlds is if you can find a stock or stocks where their earnings are accelerating. And I'm always looking for those kinds of stocks. I think a good example right now would be Lilly with their weight loss drug. I think you're going to see earnings accelerate. And we had Ken Langone this past week, who kind of knows what he's doing. He's started Home Depot. He thinks it's going to be a $1 trillion company. So anyways, it's the earnings for me. And last but not least, one other stock that's having a good day here, NVIDIA, which is the stock of the year. I'm going to award NVIDIA the stock. This is the awards period of time, right, for TV shows and all kinds of stuff, best restaurant, this and that. NVIDIA is the stock of the year. It's more than tripled. It's up 1.8% again today.
Yeah,
what will it do in 2024?
It's like an award ceremony. If we keep talking, the music will just going to kick in here.
Step up. Here comes, what's her name, Lisa Su, the CEO.
Right?
No, that's AMD.
Yeah, that's AMD.
She's done okay, too, this year as a CEO. Microsoft has done okay with their ChatGPT. What will 2024 bring? Well, we just stay on top of it. You can't go far out in the future making predictions. You just have to look at trends, and you have to detect those trends very early and always be watchful for new things emerging. Get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com or give us a call. Get set up for 2024 with Gunderson Capital Management, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.